Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First day of hurricane season 2023, joined by Peyton Malone, your local weather expert from WWL-TV. How you doing, Peyton?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'll tell you what, I'm sitting here right now looking at a satellite image of some clouds out in the Gulf.
Yeah, what is going on with that? Because I'm getting texts from people that look at social media and this and that and the other thing when they should be looking at Channel 4. But
bingo.
What is going on with that?
Yeah, you know, here, let me just start by saying this is not going to be an issue for us here in New Orleans or Louisiana or Mississippi. What it is an area of showers and storms overnight really blossomed, and it's wrapped up into a fairly tight low pressure. The winds have been picking up, and it has a decent chance of becoming our maybe first named storm of the season later on today.
But it would mean for us here in the area, nothing or
yeah,
rain?
Yeah. But here's the deal. It's not moving. It's sitting at about 250-ish miles southeast of New Orleans, and it's not going to move much today. The steering currents are weak, so we're not expecting it to drift our direction. Only thing we might see in kind of an indirect or a few isolated showers getting flung off from it, and that's about all we'll see. And the winds will be blowing about 10 to 15 miles an hour today. That's it. Yeah.
What about rain? Are we way behind on rain?
You know, we have been running in a deficit. I'd have to look at the full – I don't have a yearly outlook in front of me right now, but we haven't seen a very wet spring like we have in the past. I mean, we've had some Mays before where, Lord, we get a lot of rain, but we dodged a lot of the heavy stuff this year.
My lawn is telling me we're low on rain because it's starting, the roots are starting, whatever you call them, little runners or whatever the heck it is. Tell me about what the forecast says, the predictions from the different centers about what kind of hurricane season it's going to be.
Yeah, if you've been looking, you've probably heard a bit of a mixed signal from some calling for below average, some calling near average. There's been a few outliers saying above average. And the reason there's the unknowns is because as we go into this hurricane season, we've got a couple of conflicting things going on. We've got El Nino developing. El Nino are the warm waters in the central Pacific near the equator, think south of Hawaii. If those waters are warmer than normal, that's an El Nino, and that typically leads to less hurricanes in the Atlantic because we have more wind shear in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, the counter side of that is the Atlantic Ocean right now is running extremely warm, and parts of it are record warmth right now. We've never seen it this warm at this part of the season. So whenever you have a more or warmer Atlantic, it typically leads to above-average seasons. So we're trying to weigh which one of those is going to win out. Now, I will say El Nino typically is going to be the winner, but this is something that we haven't really seen before. When you go back and look at climatology and the history, is we've never had a record warmth Atlantic like this and an El Nino fighting against each other. So it'll be interesting to see which one wins out.
What's causing the record heat in the Atlantic, do you know?
The winds have just been really light. The pattern set up over the Atlantic, the winds haven't been blowing that much. So when the winds aren't blowing, the water's not getting stirred up, and it essentially just heats up.
When you say temperature of the Atlantic, you're talking about like the first couple of feet of water or what? Peyton, how do y'all determine that?
Yeah, there's
and what's
different-
important?
There's different measurements. This will be your sea surface temperatures. It doesn't go down extremely deep. But it's enough to support, you know, a tropical storm or a hurricane. You start to look at the deeper waters when you have slower moving storms. So if the storm is moving really slow and it's moving over deep, warm water, that's when you have big problems. But it really just depends storm by storm which part it's tapping into.
So if you can teach meteorology 101 here, tell me why the surface temperature of the sea or the Gulf or what ocean, whatever it is, how does that intensify the storm?
Well, it has to do with evaporation rates. And in order for a storm to intensify, you have to get that water vapor to come off the ocean floor that's feeding these thunderstorms that are feeding this hurricane. And it's all a cycle. It is all completely a cycle. That air rises and then it eventually falls somewhere. And so the cool water temperatures can't support strong updrafts or strong thunderstorms. And the warmer the water it is, it's easier for that water to rise up into the hurricane, essentially. So that's why the warmer the water, the more fuel these storms usually have.
Saharan dust and off the coast of Africa, I know that's something that can often lead to these things not developing, right? I mean, where do you start looking for these things? Is it over Africa itself?
Yeah, the Saharan dust. Are you talking about the Saharan dust?
Well, everything in general.
Yeah.
How do you start? Honestly, like, tell me about the anatomy of a hurricane. Where do you guys start looking? Like in Africa and waves or what?
Honestly, yeah. And we're getting to the roots of it. I love it. Yeah. If you look off in Africa, the reason Africa is the breeding grounds for these tropical waves. Tropical waves can eventually turn into depression, storms, and hurricanes. The reason they're coming out of Africa is because of the extreme temperature difference we have between the desert and the rainforest that's just south of there. And that temperature difference, you get these storm systems to develop, and then eventually they do roll off into the Atlantic, and these are essentially the seeds for tropical systems. Now, if the conditions are just right, if those tropical waves can feed off the warm waters, if you've got low wind shear, then that's how you essentially get that rotating column of air that can slowly or quickly, regardless, can turn into a tropical storm or a hurricane. So it all starts over there in Africa, kind of over the desert, really, in conjunction with the rainier part just to the south, and that extreme temperature difference gives you your tropical waves. And then it goes on from there. And sometimes you have the Saharan dust coming with it. And whenever you do have the dust, what is dust? It's dry air. So that can really choke these systems off. It also, Saharan dust, if you have a lot of Saharan dust coming out of Africa, it can help block the intense sun rays from reaching the water in the Atlantic. So it can actually help the Atlantic cool off in parts if you have enough Saharan dust. So there's all these different factors that play into it.
We've already had Saharan dust affect like the light here, right? Correct?
Yes, we have. The past couple of days, have you noticed the haze in the sky?
Yeah.
That was more smoke from all these wildfires we've got going on in Canada and Mexico and all these different places. And as we get into June, really June and early July is when we typically have our biggest Saharan outbreaks. And then as we get into the latter part of the season, we're talking August and September, that Saharan dust typically is not as prominent. And that's when we, of course, really see hurricane season blossom is in August and September.
It only takes one, of course,
yeah,
right? Because you look at, I'm thinking of
Andrew.
Andrew and Betsy,
yeah.
Right,
Betsy
was the second one. And Camille was C,
was
the
yeah.
third one. But when it comes to these, like, University of Colorado forecast, NOAA forecast, what do they base that on?
A lot of things. The main things they're looking at are, what are the predictions with El Nino? They run long-term models to see what El Nino, if it's going to be El Nino or La Nina. So that's a big one. They also base it off the temperature of the Atlantic. That's important. And then they also base it off of how active is that African, it's called the African monsoon season, how active is that going to be? Because if it's more active, you get more tropical waves coming out of Africa itself. And this season, they're forecasting an active monsoon season over there. That would be more tropical waves. And they're forecasting that warm Atlantic. So those two competing factors, we're trying to figure out if those are going to beat out El Nino or not.
All right, I'm trying to keep score here. El Nino, good.
El Nino,
good. what did you say just now about rain? What was it in Africa?
Monsoon season.
Monsoon season, bad.
Yeah.
Saharan dust, good.
Good.
Warm water, bad.
Bad.
Seems to me like we're back to flipping a coin here, Peyton.
You got it.
I'm trying to understand it.
And it's a lot more nuanced. Those are your big things. There's, of course, when you have a storm out there, there's so many other factors that matter in that immediate moment. When you're looking at the long-term forecast, you look at those bigger, broader kind of things going on.
So what are some of the things, because, you know, I do not envy you or the people that do your job, because so many people depend, especially when it comes to a hurricane, city leaders, et cetera, to evacuate, not to evacuate, what's going to happen here, how to prepare. You're trying to predict the future. You're doing the best you can with science helping you out. But what are, like, in terms of intensity and direction, have things improved a lot with all the technology that we have, or not really?
They really have. You know, I know everyone thinks that the forecast used to be amazing back in the day, and they were. They were damn good for, you know, back when Nash was doing it. It's amazing what they were able to accomplish. They had somewhat, they had satellites back then, but really all the satellites did in the 60s and even the parts of the 70s, they would take like a snapshot of the clouds, and that's about all they did. Now our satellites tell us so much information, and that's a big part coupled with the models that we have. Those two things coupled together, and our forecasts have improved greatly. In fact, a five-day forecast now, so think of the five-day cone, is as good as a two-day forecast was 25 years ago.
Oh, really?
So that's the equivalent. 25 years ago was, you know, in the 90s. And so a forecast back then, a two-day forecast, is essentially the same as a five-day forecast now. And that's how far we have come. Now, I will say we're reaching limitations here. We have not seen as great of improvements over the past about 5 years or so. The forecasts have gotten so good, and they're struggling to get better.
Does artificial intelligence portend anything?
Yes, yeah.
Go ahead. Tell me about that.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not an expert in the artificial intelligence when it comes to weather, but they're training the AI to recognize patterns and everything, and they're trying to work that into the forecast. I know right now AI is, I guess, being developed to try to predict the hurricane intensity, and that's one of the things that we do struggle with more, is not so the track of these storms, but more so the intensity of these storms. And that's a very hard thing to pin down, and I know there's some AI things going on right now that they're trying to work to get that to help us out.
I know they can. The AI can work through a lot of different scenarios and permutations, combinations, whatever the term is, so I would think that would help in some way, right, maybe?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we already – I mean, it may shock people that what we use now are weather computers. These are supercomputers, and the amount of equations that these computers have to chomp, because in the end, meteorology is just math at the heart of it all, and they're equating billions and probably trillions of equations through the day to just get you what you see on TV, you know. So AI certainly could help out with that. It also helps interpret maybe things that we miss as human forecasters, because everything that we know is in our brains, and we're trying to remember what we've seen in the past, we're trying to recognize patterns. A lot of times it's pattern recognizing. So hopefully it helps us out, hoping it doesn't take our jobs. I don't think it will. But.
Well, and that brings us to the models. And you know, during hurricane season, it's almost like it becomes a sports kind of thing where you're rooting for one model over the other, right? So where do these different models come from?
Well, we have them all over the place. We have a couple big global models. Those are the big ones. The GFS is the American. You hear us talk about the European model is run out of Europe. There's a German model. There's all different types. I will say, in the end, when you look at the Hurricane Center does reanalysis every single year to see how did we do versus us, the models, the Hurricane Center's forecast is usually always better than the model runs. So whenever you combine a human forecaster with those models, with experience, maybe with AI someday, the human forecast that you get with the cone is usually always better than the model. So that's why we always say, you know, the models are just tools. They're not the forecasts. They're just tools we use to create the forecast.
So the models basically are these mathematical predictions or projections,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, the models are
if this, then that.
Exactly. They're crunching, and it's just like with a, you know, the old saying, a butterfly flaps his wings. It's like chaos theory. The models do pretty good in a short amount of time because we know what's happening. And then once you start to get further out in time, there's so many variables that it could go every which way. And that's why forecasts get extremely unreliable beyond 5 to 7 days.
We've been talking, we began talking this morning with Mike Steele with GOSEP about contraflow and how that kind of is off the table, because if it takes 72 hours to institute it, or 72 hours before landfall, well, you're not going to have that much notice, really. Yeah. Are these things moving a lot faster than they used to, and if so, why?
You know, they're intensifying. They're rapidly intensifying, and that's one thing that the researchers are trying to figure out. We know that the water is warmer, therefore it's holding more fuel for these storms. One thing we've seen, and this goes back to the 90s, and every strong hurricane that we've had, all the way back from Katrina to Andrew to Ida to Ian last year, 3 days before landfall, 72 hours before landfall, all of them were weak tropical storms. And then they blew up into Category 4s and Category 5s within less than 72 hours. And then that's when you have your problems. You've got this monster on your doorstep. So that's where the forecast just has to get better, I guess. I mean, there has to be more confidence. And, the 72 hours, I'm not sure we can improve on getting everyone out in 72 hours.
How long have you been doing this?
I don't know. Not that long. How long have I been doing? 7 years?
All right. What's your gut tell you about this season? Do you have any gut feeling at all?
I think it's going to be fairly average. I do. But we will see. We just hope none come our way because, you know, it could be an average season. But if there's a bad one out there, well,
yeah, just takes one. Thank you, Peyton. I appreciate your time and I appreciate the information. Peyton Malone, your WWL-TV local weather forecaster, local weather expert. We come back, we'll talk to Newell Norman. He's going to be out live on location today at Craig's Electrical and Generators, getting you ready for hurricane season. That is located at 24th Street, on 24th Street in Kenner. You can say hi to the sheriff, register to win a Generac GP6500 portable generator valued at $899. We'll hear from Newell when we come back on WWL.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The secret's oat. For nourishing your sensitive skin, start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps. Thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The secret's oat. For nourishing your sensitive skin, start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps. Thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.